Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals.
Welcome to the Animal Control Report with your hosts,
Ashley Bishop.
And Ashley Bishop. What? There's going to be two Ashley Bishops here joining us. You just wait, people. Just wait. This isn't one of those, like,
what is it? It's a difference between a Y and an E, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. It's still Ashley Bishop. And your other host, Daniel Ettinger. Welcome to the Animal Control Report podcast, part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. Check us out at www.keepithumane.com/podcast network, where you can see all the fun other animal control, well, animal welfare, I would say, right? Animal welfare podcasts.
Yeah.
What's your favorite out of the group of four? If you don't say ours, I'm about to turn you off right now.
What? But really, I don't listen to myself.
I hope not.
Because I can't stand the sound of my voice. Sorry for all you listeners out there. But I don't know that I'd be able to choose, honestly.
Is it like picking a child?
Like kinda. Kinda.
I mean, I like them all. I'm just going to give the politically correct answer. I like, they're all good. You know, it just really depends on what you're looking for, right? If you want to talk about community cats, if you want to, you know, listen to that stuff, we got you. If you want to hear about, I think, you know, what Dr. G's doing with the Animal Welfare Junction, having some of these case studies come in. She just, hers are always going to be a little different, which is great, right? Because you can have something that's like more veterinary related. And then if you want that upbeat, rah, 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 you know, don't fuck up the crime scene, that'll be Kevin. Just, I don't even know. He'd just be, yo, son, I'm from Brooklyn. What up, bro? You know.
Does he even listen to our show anymore?
I don't think he listens to anything, but
that's
but,
fair.
Yeah, he's just Kevin. He's the dude. So if you want to listen, I guess I'm selling these. I don't know how well I'm selling these other podcasts, but check them out. No, seriously, check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. Also check out livetrap.com. If you're, you know, if you're in the hunt, what is it when you're shopping? If you're in the need, if you're in the, if you're looking for something, like just say you're like, hey, I need a new trap. Like they have these awesome gravity door traps that just open and they close whenever an animal hits the trigger plate. You don't have to mess around with all that other stuff. Go to
bite sticks.
You can get both. And you go to livetrap.com and you put in Keep It Humane, you get 10% off that order. So,
or you've been off of doing your job since November and you come back to find out that your vehicle smells like dog, even though when you have it, it never smells like dog.
Huh.
And so you need to force somebody to use some rescue in your vehicle and get it clean because that's disgusting.
Yeah. That sounds like,
they have rescue too.
They have, I'm going to their website right now because I didn't know they have rescue.
I didn't either. I actually went specifically looking. I needed some more rescue and I went specifically looking at Tomahawk Live Trap first.
It's so easy to find. Just type it in and yeah, they sure do have rescue. $16.45 with your 10% off. You know, that's $1.65 almost. So,
yep.
Cool. Good deal. Anything else happening in the land of, it's snowing in March. Oh, wait, I got one more thing before we go, before I turn it over. We're less than a month away from the Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week. And it seems like there was a, you know, I got some feedback from that. I got some people giving a few photos and videos. And in fact, we made an intro. If you watch this on YouTube or Spotify, there's an intro utilizing some of your great work. So thank you for those who have submitted. But it just seems like people just, they don't participate. And then they get mad because they don't feel appreciated. You got to participate to feel appreciated, right? And so I think it's important that people know that ACO Week is coming up. I think it's like the 13th through the 20th of April. Or do you have the dates, Bishop? It doesn't matter.
No.
It's the
What
second
about
full
another
week.
bishop? Do you have the dates?
Oh,
I
shoot.
do. It's actually on my
Look
calendar.
at
We celebrate it very well. I'm gonna have to look it up though here on my phone. Let's see here. It is the week of April from the 14th through the 20th.
See, we cloned Ashley Bishop and we have a second Ashley Bishop that has all the information that we need. This is great. Ashley Bishop, your job's in jeopardy because we could just easily just
Hey
slide in
now.
the other Ashley Bishop. Look at
Hey now.
that.
Now we're there. I'm gonna fight for
She's
it. She's way
so, but
cooler
get your stuff to us. Send me an email, daniel@keepahumane.com. Matter of fact, I'm on. What's that thing called? Snapchat now? I'm cool. My kids made me go on Snapchat. And
Oh, Lord.
if you snap at Humane Maine, my old one, I can't change it. For whatever reason, I can't change it to keep it humane. But if you snap, what is it? You just snap at Humane Maine. So Humane, MAIN. Is that how you spell Maine? Maine. Then you can just get me videos there.
Are you sure you can't like restart it so that you can have something that you can spell?
Yeah, I probably should. So that's what I have. That's what I have this morning. What about you, Bishop? I'm sorry. Wait. What about you, the OG Bishop? Let's do that because it's going to get real confusing here in a minute.
There we go. I'm really disgusted because the snow's starting to accumulate on the ground. Sorry, I'm distracted. I don't really have much. I will be in Texas in May for the HSUS conference. So if anybody wants to hit me up there, I will definitely be there. I'm actually going to be there May 12th through the 18th, so I'll be there for quite some time.
That's a long time.
It is a long time, and it's a long time with Taba.
Tabba dabba do. If you don't know, you know now. Check out the Humane Educators of Texas.
They've got some awesome stuff too. But yeah, I'll be there with Tabitha and Kelly. So that'll be a fun time for a week.
Mean, it depends on who you ask.
Dan, I'm gonna come back a different person.
You may not come back at all.
I'm okay with that. I'll make the kids and the hubby move down there.
Well, speaking of Texas and moving down there's already an Ashley Bishop in Texas, so I don't know. It's a big state, but
I was gonna say it's a big state.
I don't know if there's room for two. Let's introduce our guest. I want to get this rolling because Ashley Bishop at wow. Well, we can call her by her full name because I guess Ashley Rodriguez Bishop, but it's just not as fun.
H.O. Bishop. I'm H.O. Bishop.
Okay. And she's just Ashley Bishop.
I mean, Dan, you can't handle mouthfuls of words. Ashley Rodriguez Bishop is going to be too
A
hard for you.
lot. Well, she could be ARB, ARB.
Arb.
Ashley
It's not a
Bishop from
dog.
Texas. Ashley
Going
Bishop, thank
arb,
you for joining the
arb,
podcast. We're really excited to have you. And I know when we saw some of your emails and such, I was like, wait, Bishop, why are you calling? Oh, wait, it's a different bishop.
It sure is.
So
I'm
you
all
have a
laid.
really cool like history and extensive like kind of experience in the profession. Why don't you just start with that? Like, how long you been doing this? How you got started?
Oh gosh. So I started back in 2009. I'm originally from the Rio Grande Valley, born and raised in Brownsville, Texas. So the animal welfare industry down there, I feel, is way behind the times. So when I started, I was just a little old freshman in high school, and I was volunteering for one of the largest shelters down there, which is in Brownsville. And I loved it. All of us have that dream of going vet med, and then we kind of look into it and we're just like, well, for me personally, I wasn't going to use the, surgery aspect of everything. So I was like, why really go and waste my time when I love the municipal aspect of things? So from there, I got some experience at a vet clinic that was there locally, graduated with my undergrad in biology, and then did some time at the other large shelter, Palm Valley in Edinburgh, for some time, got some good experience there.
And then I came up to Texas A&M to get my master's degree in veterinary public health and epidemiology. And then I decided to stay up here, got myself a job as the programs coordinator for a local municipality. And then shortly after, about 2 years I was there, I became the supervisor. So I've been as a supervisor for about 5 years now.
Awesome. Is
Nice.
Brownsville, is that really close to South Padre?
Yes, that is like 15 minutes down the road from us.
So are you, do you know Kingpen Farms?
I don't.
You and I need to talk because
Okay.
it's this really, and I don't know the laws. I've looked into it before because I found it. I was doing a cockfighting investigation in Colorado, and somebody, one of the roosters had the banned Kingpen, and I don't know. Again, I don't know what the laws are, but there's like a clear cockfighting farm right by you. It's
Interesting.
super huge, like real big.
Interesting.
So I'll send you the overview of the map, because when you look at it on the map, you're just like, oh, that's a lot of cocks. Can I say that on TV?
We're explicit, it's okay.
R rated.
Aren't we all in the animal industry? It's just part of our nature.
I have to say that the first time I had to Google cockfighting, because I was very, very fresh, and my lieutenant was also Googling it, I was like, how is IT not stopping this right now? Because a lot of this is not roosters.
Wow.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I
IT was
know.
like, yeah, whatever.
The bishops. Well, you know, if you play chess, this is actually true. There are two bishops on the board if you don't lose one, and hopefully that we don't lose one. Maybe we just gained a bishop. We have two bishops. This is chess, not
There
checkers,
you
people. This is chess,
go.
not
Let's just start
checkers.
throwing people off.
What, as a, so as a supervisor, what's your hardest thing that you have to deal with?
People, you know,
Yeah.
like employees. Like I could run our shelter and everything, animal control in my sleep. And it's just dealing with the employees and that kind of aspect of things, I think is just the hardest part of the job, honestly. I can deal with the screaming public. You know, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. I pay taxes, I pay your salary. I can deal with that all day. But you know, personally, it's just the personnel is very difficult to deal with. I'm still learning.
Yeah. I
But
totally
I
can.
mean, in this profession, we're all still learning, always. And if
Oh,
you're
for
not,
sure.
maybe you should find a different profession.
I agree. And
Honestly.
I tell myself all the time, knowledge is infinite. You know, you can never stop learning. Just because I am the supervisor, it doesn't mean I'm not just like everybody else. I put in the work, we get dirty, we all get dirty. It's part of the job.
How do you use your epidemiology degree? Are you able to do some of the digging into cases?
Yes and no. You know, luckily where I'm at right now in Bryan College Station, there's not a lot of what I saw in the Rio Grande Valley. Like we don't see a lot of parvo, distemper, that type of thing.
Oh.
I mean it comes in, it does come in, don't get me wrong, but we don't see it in the masses. Like, you know, we'll have a case here or there that we catch, but I haven't had to use it in its full awesomeness. Because of that, I know some of the other shelters around us have to deal with a lot of the distemper, but they also take animals from within the county, and I think that's where we see a lot more of those things in my jurisdiction. So I live in Brazos County. We have three different agencies that do animal control in our county. So myself, which is Bryan, the city of Bryan has their own agency that I'm over. College Station has their own agency. And then Brazos County has their livestock unit that does animal control for the county. I have a brick and mortar here that is just for my jurisdiction within the city limits. And then there's a humane society down the road that contracts out with College Station and Brazos County.
You all
So it's
work
really
together.
interesting.
pretty pretty well.
Oh yeah. They just got some real new leadership in the county, and man, he's awesome. And I tell him all the time, I was like, I'm so glad that in the county somebody actually cares what they're doing. You know, it's not just being thrown away as some, you know, oh, I carry a gun and now I have to do animal control. I'm not going to do anything about it. He's amazing, and we work really well together. All three animal control agencies, we talk to one another, because it's a weird dynamic here in this area. You know, we're in the valley. It's an issue of overpopulation. It's an issue of, you know, economy down there and things like that. Whereas here we have the revolving population of the students, and a lot of what we do on a daily basis is dealing kind of with that, and them not being educated when they adopt a pet or they bring a pet over. So we really have to communicate with one another as far as the agencies are concerned, because people are lying left and right, you know, and we'll find animals dumped in each other's jurisdictions. So we're calling them up and saying, hey, you know, so and so said this about this, and you know, we have information. Do you want to roll with it to do whatever it is you need to do for that particular case?
And that's what I was wondering too, like how often are you getting abandoned animals like after the school year, right?
A
Like what?
lot, a lot, a lot, a lot, you know, and we're one of the few shelters in our area. The surrounding counties that we have don't have agencies that run animal control, or they don't have brick and mortar either. So we have a lot of people coming from outside our jurisdiction that come in and dump animals, and then the kids that come in and adopt from either facility or surrounding facilities around May is kind of when we see an up in intake. You know, we get the rats that are dumped by the trash cans or the fish tanks or the dogs or the cats or the guinea pigs, rabbits, you know, is usually when we see a lot of that towards the end of the semester.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
Do you end up getting to the point where you're sending animals outward then? Or does your organization end up having to send out of Texas? Because I mean, I feel like we all know that Texas has got a lot of overpopulation in their animals. And I know my area sees a lot of dogs coming up from Texas. Do you guys participate in that?
We do through other agencies. So because we're such a small municipality, so we're in a town of 86,000 people, and we're a fairly new
That's
shelter.
small. Sorry. I have
Small for
40,000.
small for us, I guess, here in Texas
It's
compared to
all
where else I've come from.
relative. Come on,
Texas is always bigger.
For sure, for sure. But we're a fairly new municipality, and I say that because so the facility that we were actually in right now used to be the county shelter, and it was a humane society that ran it. And it wasn't really ran by any jurisdiction. They were just contracted to leave animals there. So about 2011 is when the city decided to take over their facility. So we've been there since 2011. So we're about 10 years old, 11 years old now. And just, you know, the city's really trying to find their foot in the animal world. They've brought in some talent that kind of put them on the right trajectory, but they're still getting used to all of that. So I'm still seeing a little bit of red tape here or there, because they haven't kind of opened their mind to what's out there as far as our industry is concerned. But since I've taken over, they've really listened to what I've had to say, which is great. My leadership is really awesome. But yeah, we source out through another local rescue who then sends our animals out abroad.
What is your biggest impact moment in your career? Like what was that moment where you were going through the schooling, like you were doing all that and you were just like, 'cause I mean you touched on your path briefly though, briefly Ashley. So like when did it hit? When were you like, you know what? Like I know I want to do this. I want to be in municipal government, help animals, help people.
Working in the Brownsville shelter, you know, it just between Brownsville and Palm Valley and Edinburgh, I mean, there's just so much going on down there. You know, it's to be honest, when I at the time that I had walked through Palm Valley, which was almost a decade ago now, I didn't know if I could do it. You know, it's not the fault of the facility nor the people working there. It's just They're so overwhelmed. They don't have the resources. A lot of times there's a very hard language barrier and a hard cultural barrier, I feel like, that I even come from, that made things really difficult to just kind of educate everybody on. And so after I left Palm Valley, I really made it my goal to educate myself in what I needed to educate myself in. And then my goal was to always go back home. My goal was always to go back home, go to Brownsville, run that shelter, do what I could do to help the animals and the people. But then I met my husband. So we're up here, and he's a first responder. He's a 911 dispatcher. He works nights.
He better listen to this episode. And thank you, Mr. Bishop. So we have two, actually, bishops. We appreciate you more than you know, sir. More than you know.
I'm sure he will. But yeah, Brownsville really kicked me off. My supervisors down there, who had been doing everything for a hot minute as well, just my passion for municipalities and kind of the how much harder we have it as an agency in the world to try to change that rhetoric of, we're not the dog pound, we're not the dog catcher. That's just not who we are. And I've really made it my passion and my goal here at the city I'm in to ensure that we instill that into our community. We do a lot of offsite events. I have my officers come with me so that they are out there in the community and they know that we're here to give back and we're not the bad guys any longer. So I just really wanted to change that rhetoric, and take on that challenge of being a government-ran facility.
I've recently picked up an interest in the funding of these programs. Where does all the funding come from if you're a government-run facility?
For sure. So we are what we call a general fund department. So we are paid illicitly through taxes, nothing that the city makes. So myself, my poor supervisor has the four worst departments under him. But myself and then the streets and drainage department as well, we all come out of the general fund, so straight out of taxes. I am lucky enough to where my leadership has allowed me to use that money how I see fit. I really don't have a lot of red tape. It did take a lot of time to get them that way. And when I started, I was like, well, if we're taking donations, you better make sure that they're coming directly to the shelter and not getting funded through the general fund and being resourced back into the city because people are not going to donate. And once they find that out, overall, yeah, we can maybe piece things here or there. I was able to get us a complete item line. So all the donations actually fund directly to us now. We don't have a foundation or anything like that that is hooked up to us as of yet. But yeah, our city's been very helpful in making sure that anything that we do make comes directly back to us. But all my funding and everything comes directly out of my budget. I just started the free rabies and microchip events that we are doing for our city. We host them four times a year. We go directly into our parks and give away all that stuff to make sure everybody's in compliance and so that we can get animals home as well. But that comes directly out of my budget.
I'm laughing a little bit because I literally just held my Paws and Protect, which is my free rabies and microchip clinic yesterday.
Awesome.
Wait,
We're
is it
like one
like
and the same.
Bishop, OG Bishop? Is it like pause and protect, or
PAWS.
it's
Yes.
pause and protect?
Yes.
Oh, how cute.
Absolutely.
That's very cute.
Ours are not that cool. Ours are just called free rabies and microchip
Oh.
events.
I mean, feel free, you're in Texas, feel free to steal the name.
I mean, you already use her name, so you might as well just use her name, bro. Like, just give it, you know what I mean? Like,
I was just laughing because like her entire story like started out at a shelter, went to school for some veterinary stuff, and then got into the profession. Like that is
your
within some
story.
degree
Yeah.
my story too.
I think
We're
that's
soul
fair.
sisters. This is how we were
We
supposed to
are.
meet.
Wow. Okay, well, this is now the Bishop and Bishop show. I will just recuse myself from
Gonna say,
this.
see yourself out, Dan.
Yeah, this is just the Bishop and Bishop show.
Sounds like Ashley and I need to start our own podcast in the Humane Network.
There you go. There you
The
go.
Bishop and Bishop Show.
I'm down. The
Let's
Bishop and
do
Bishop. It
it.
should be called Checkmate because, like,
Yeah.
bit
Love
bishops.
that.
I'm just
Love
saying,
that.
like, I get a point for that. All right, I'm going to read you this. Actually, no, before I do, Ashley Bishop, just our guest Bishop. This is tough. Woo. People, if you go to YouTube or you go to Spotify, you can watch this podcast and you can see there actually are two Ashley Bishops. There's one. Is your hair red, Bishop number?
Yes.
It's red, so you're the Irish bishop.
And I'm not Irish at all. I'm Polish and German.
And then you have is your hair's brunette?
I'm slowly turning gray, but
I think that's
yeah.
cool. That's cool.
So am I.
Grays are I think the women that embrace the gray, I think it's great. I think
we got to.
Yeah, the ones that try to hide it. Just go home.
Redheads go white, and I told my husband once my hair's all white, all bets are off and it'll be purple and pink and blue.
Let's okay. Start it. Okay. I'm gonna read this. No, wait, I wasn't gonna read this. I was gonna ask
you. No, you
weren't. Yes, Bishop. Wow.
Yeah. See, he could not do your full name.
I love this.
What is your take? How do you feel about the show Animal Control?
I haven't watched it. I will start there.
Okay, good.
I haven't watched it. And, you know, I know there are agencies and national agencies who are kind of, you know, promoting and whatnot. I personally don't have an affinity for it, and I don't think I'll ever watch it, just because we already have a hard enough time dealing with our day in and day out and how people view us. And I feel like this sets us back quite a bit, regardless of what their intention was. I just, it's not for me. It's not it.
Well, I'm glad I didn't lead the witness there. I have a story to read. Bishop, OG Bishop, you don't know about this story, but you will right now. Please bear with me.
Surprise me.
So we've had a few guests from the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA, shout out PETA, PETA.org. PETA actually, I know people are like, PETA, the fucking vegans, they're stupid. They say a lot of dumb stuff, but they also say smart stuff. Okay. So this came out on Pi Day, March 14th on PETA.org. You can read it there. Following the latest episode of, how do you say that dude's last name for Animal Control? It's just McHale? Joel McHale?
Sure.
Okay. Following the latest episode of Joel McHale's Animal Control, which featured a sloth and a capuchin monkey, PETA sent a letter today to Fox president of scripted programming, Michael Thorne, urging the network to stop exploiting live animals and instead use the show's platform for good by helping to curb the animal overpopulation crisis. So here's the letter. You ready? The only thing funny about animal control is that the producers don't understand the issues plaguing real animal control officers in overburdened shelters trying to combat the ever-growing homeless animal crisis. Unlike Joel McHale's monkeys and sloths aren't... Wait, let me try that again because you know I read like crap. Unlike Joel McHale, monkeys and sloths aren't desperate to be on TV. They simply want to be left alone in nature instead of being torn away from their mothers, confined, abusively trained, and forced in front of cameras. PETA urges the public to skip this outdated spectacle of exploitation and encourages Fox to help, not hinder, the work that animal control agencies do by promoting spaying and neutering and adoption of animals at local animal shelters. There's more. Basically, PETA points out that animal shelters are overflowing, and some of them, with misguided policies, are warehousing dogs for months, even years, and abandoning cats to die in horrible ways on the streets. Woof! Again, PETA.org. Feedback.
A loaded letter.
But what you said, though, guest Bishop, is we have a national organization that promotes the show, but is not actually saying what PETA just said, which PETA always goes a little bit of the extra mile. And I mean, like, some people don't like that. You know, I don't have an issue with it, but I will say, like, is there a more tactful way to say that? Probably, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
They're not. They're really not. And in almost even now in this time of you can find anything online, you know, you'll be surprised at how many people don't even know that we exist in our city. Like, they're like, we didn't know we had animal control, or we don't know what you actually do. So, you know, I don't know. It just puts a bad taste in my mouth. So I don't think it's something that I will watch.
I see Bishop OG over there just stewing. What's going on, Ashley?
I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about it because for some of us, it can also be the outlet of, you know what, we've had those stupid calls. We've been on them. Things that you can't make up, they're trying to make up. And honestly, some of our calls are probably stupider than what they've even had on the show. I've actually only watched the first one or two episodes, and I don't have the time. But I would be interested to see, because I guess I haven't watched it, to know if American Humane is on the show
They
also
would, I think they would.
monitoring.
Well, I was going to say they would have to be, but this show's filmed in Toronto, so I actually don't know.
Canada also has a similar, I don't know what it's called, but they have a similar program. Because maybe it's not a matter of these animals were plucked from the wild to be trained to be on these shows. They were, you know, animals that were rescued, because I know that that's a thing that they use animals that are rescued at times in TV shows and that. And then once they've been on TV, then they go back out to be adopted. I know that like Harry Potter did that.
We did have, remember we had the guest, whatever, I forget what role she plays. She is the front office manager person.
Yes.
Really nice. And she did say they
Yes.
did
And
bring
she.
kittens in. But the reality is this. The reality is this. They are just, is it satire? What's the definition of satire?
Making fun of,
Yeah,
essentially.
it's not like they could still be a comedy and they could make fun of the dumbass people that surrender their dogs for the dumbest thing ever. Somebody, I know one of you two have an adoption return or something that's just like this per that really, like we just got new
Yeah.
hardwood floors. Anybody? I've had that one. We just got new hardwood floors. We don't want to have those nails scratching up the floors anymore. Look at Bishop, guest Bishop's over there feeling that. You already know.
We had one like a year ago. A lady had a 14-year-old Pomeranian. She was moving into a new home and she didn't want that old dog to ruin her new house.
No, that's not
Oh.
fair. I hope she has like an overbearing of like skunks that live under her property.
Yeah. So no, you're right, Dan. And that is definitely fair.
Don't defend the show, Bishop.
I'm
Don't
not
do
trying
it.
to de
The
I'm not
show sucks. I'm just gonna say it that out loud. And Mooney agrees. Come up here, Mooney. Come up here. Come up. Playtime, boy. Come up. Shit.
Again, I haven't watched enough of it to see Lamb Chop. This is a song that never ends
Oh,
and
if
goes on
you have
and
to
on.
watch, you have to watch on. People are like, why is she singing that? I have so Mooney, my dog. Come here, Mooney. Mooney, he's trying desperately to play right now,
Ew.
and it's not playtime. So, anyway, go. I'm sorry, go back. I don't want to keep you from that.
I don't even know where I was at.
You haven't watched but two, so you don't really know.
Yeah, so I don't really know what it's actually trying to portray. But at the same time, if they're also not portraying us as dog catchers, is it at least a little bit
But
better?
they are though. That's the problem. They're basically showing us as like goofy, stupid, like, you know, just responding to dumb calls, using equipment we would never use in situations. Like it is perpetuating the Disney's version of the dog catcher just in a modern way. That's all that's happening here. And to think of it any less, sure, it might be comedic relief for some, but nah, I can't get behind it. I can't. A buddy of
That's
ours.
fair.
And he was a co-host of the show once. He was a fill-in, Universe. Remember Universe? You and
Talk to
him.
him frequently.
Yeah. He loves the show. So shout out Universe. I hate it. And he knows I hate it. And so he'll send me clips sometimes. And I'll be like, nah, bro, it ain't it. And he'll be like, come on, man, you're just a hater. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a hater. A hater's gonna hate.
Think you're gonna have that though with everything. You're gonna have the po positive and the negative.
Did you say
And oh
positive?
yeah, I did. I did. But I don't know. I think it would be interesting to do, like, because they got signed on for a second season. So I would be interested to see how many people have actually watched it. We should put a poll out. We should put a poll out on
Like who
Facebook.
watches it regularly or who's just watched it?
Who enjoys it and who doesn't? How many enjoy it versus how many don't? And granted, that may bring them more, it may bring them more views temporarily until when people are like, oh, wait, there's this thing. But then we might be able to get some more standing because I know we've tried to talk to them before about, you know, can we have some say as to what's being
They
done on the
do, they
show?
but they do partner, from my knowledge, they do, I don't want to say partner, but they do work with a Northern California agency, if I'm not mistaken, or they were for season one to kind of come up with a few ideas. And then what they do though, like that's the thing, is they take these ideas and they skew them. So if they took the real issues that we had at hand, right? People not spaying and neutering, like they could do a whole episode and Bishop, Texas Bishop, it's everywhere, but I guarantee you it's more so in your community where like a male does not want to neuter a male dog because of the machismo. You could do a whole episode on that and that educates the public. And then I'm getting fired up because I'm feeling
I want Bob
bombarded.
Barker at the
That's
end.
yeah, that's what I'm feeling right
Yeah.
now. That's exactly where I was going, is every episode should end with an ode to Bob Barker. Like, hey, blah 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 blah. Make sure you're spaying and neutering your pets. Like, help control the pet overpopulation. They're not doing that. They're just like, this is Reno 911 animal control version. Get out of here with that BS.
Yeah, and I think that's why I didn't start watching because I felt even just from, you know, the previews and stuff, I was like, this is just it. I don't know. It's or again, it's so hard for people to understand what we do on a daily basis. You know, it's beyond just the pets that we see. It's also a big human issue as well, you know, and educating the public on what's right and what to do and who to call and, you know, the responsibility and I don't know. If there's no real I guess educational point other than, hey, let's kind of show what they sort of do and kind of put satire on it. And they're not putting a real, I don't know, for a program or promoting somebody or, you know, some kind of agency that's doing the work and and boots on the ground. You know, I just, what's the point, you know?
I got a challenge for Hulu, Netflix, Peacock, somebody, Amazon, bring back SPCA Houston. Make it more available because it was only on Animal Planet. Make it more available because everybody's got some kind of streaming service. Bring back a show like that.
Yeah,
There's
and the real
been, yeah,
nitty-gritty.
there's been a few episodes. There's been a few, I don't want to say episodes, a few, I've been involved, I should say, in a few,
Problems? Sorry.
no. There's been a few companies that have tried to make that show come back in a different way. When I was in, up in Summit County, we did a pitch to an organization that was going to run a show potentially. So what they do is they interview you, you come up with questions, they talk to you, and then they take that back to the producers and say, here are the characters, if you will, or the actors or actors, or even though you wouldn't be acting, here are the people of the show. And then you build it, and then eventually they would come do a ride along and do a pilot or a sizzle reel. And then if they like it and they feel like it'll go, then they would do it. The problem with those shows, and I have no issues with those, and I think they can be great, is it just should be, there should be like a point of the show where, hey, You know, these things don't happen as fast as they appear on TV, right? It takes several hours and so, you know, several
Days,
hours.
weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a process.
To put together a case like that. Like, that's the only feedback that I would really have in that scenario. But other than that, I think that's way better than some comedic satire. Sure, it's cool to see to see us in a kind of like a different way, right? But when like it's still like I don't know. We can I have this little it's called a micro machine. I just bought this. These were popular in the 90s. And then this little dog catcher van, right? And it perpetuates the dog catcher animal control. I don't know if you can see in there. If you can, there's like a little dog, like dogs. Yeah. But like it still shows the dog catcher, it portrays the dog catcher no matter how you look at it, even though we're getting like some symbolization. It's still the dog catcher, right? And so that show is still the dog catcher to me.
Yeah, and like it, for me in our community, for instance, I really try to stress to the officers to be that friendly face out in the field, even if it's a bad situation. Our lingo, whatever you want to call it, or little whatever is education before citation. Like we're there to help, because a lot of people, as soon as we arrive on scene, they're like, please don't take my animal, please don't take my animal. And we explain, we're not here. We don't want your animals. Like we
Right.
don't want them. We do not want your animals. We're here to help in whatever way we can and also educate you on whatever situation that we're out there for. So that's still very much what people think. We're here just to take your animals and then we're gonna go to the dark room in the back of the shelter and do whatever. That's not who we are.
Yeah, it's really not. It's really not. Sorry, that's Mooney in the background. He's like, I will find any toy in this house and play with it while you're recording a podcast, because that's what I do. You a good
It's okay, my
boy.
cat's licking
You
my
a good
computer.
boy. You a good boy.
My four
I don't
chihuahuas
know
are out
why.
and I'm running around in the living room.
Well, that's my take on it. I feel like, you know, in the end, we can still advocate for ourselves, whether it's dealing with people individually in the community. I think that works really well, right? Like having that aspect of the job. I think like this show probably helps a little bit. You know, we have fun. We talk about some of the hard things, like we talk about cases. We talk about some of the compassion fatigue that we deal with. Like, there's a lot of that type of stuff that we have those hard conversations, and so we have to just continue to advocate for ourselves in this profession. And I think over time we'll continue to grow. But I posted this just now in ACO Talk. So if you're on Facebook and have access to the group ACO Talk, and I posted what I read. The only thing funny about animal control is the producers don't understand. I posted that quote. And so far within the last few minutes, we've gotten some feedback. And so Angel, who we've had on the show, she's helped out with the show before. She says, it's not often I agree with PETA, but and then we have somebody else that said, I don't need it to do anything that PETA wants. I just need it to be funny. So there's somebody defending the show, which is fine. And then Brad, we've also had Brad on the show before. And he's like, yeah, no. He's like, I'm not a fan of that. Brad's, you know, he's always showing like this profession in a positive way. And so I think like the more people that band together and can continue to show support for each other, I think we'll render victorious. It's going to take time, but I think we will. Mooney is now on his third toy. I don't know where he keeps finding these things, but if you could hear him in the background, like, he does not stop. He's like, I got this. I got this octopus now. He went from dragon, wait, sheep, dragon to octopus. He's just not going to stop. So yeah, that's my two cents on it.
Like I said, I think that you're gonna have people that are gonna have want that comedic relief. So I haven't, I might check out a couple more episodes of the show to actually see about it more. Because, like I said, I watched like two. But it'll be, let's be honest, maybe not a sloth and a monkey, but all of us have come across something weird like that.
We had a monkey not too long ago, actually. Yeah.
I had a guy ask me if he could have a giraffe.
That's dumb.
And alligators, 10-foot alligators are allowed in my city.
I
So.
think I'm also a little bitter because I went on to I think any actor that's on Cameo is just really struggling no matter what they think. So I went on to Cameo and I was like, well, I'm not going to pay Joel McHale $160 to make a stupid video about our podcast. It's not worth it to me. But for $3, I'm going to text message the guy and just see if he's willing to come on as a guest to talk about this. Like, just let's have a conversation, a real conversation. And homeboy left me on read. For all those that know what that means, he definitely, somebody, either him or somebody in his camp, saw the message and just never responded. And so I paid $3 for him to read the message and not respond. Get the fuck out of here, Joel McHale. Like, he's just an actor just trying to get paid, you know? Like, that's all he cares about. He's not here for, like you said, Bishop, a few minutes ago, Bob Barker, like, he said that at the end of every episode because he cared, right?
Yeah.
He wanted to see change in the overpopulation. He knew it was a problem. This show doesn't care. They're just trying to get money.
Yeah, and they're only creating more of an issue for their for their communities.
If they're on, if they get picked up for a third season, I'll shave my head.
Y'all heard it here.
You did, and you don't get to cut that out, Dan.
I won't. I'm gonna shave it. Shave it. So, anything else before we wrap it up? Put a bow on it. Oh, it's kitty season. Which one's
It
that,
is.
Bishop?
It sure is kitty season.
It is mischief.
Mischief.
We have mischief in trouble. Mischief likes to eat through plastic and take out chicken breasts that are in the sink and then take them into the office. And then my kids randomly find them and put the chicken breast back into the sink. And so I come home to a dirty chicken breast in the sink, not knowing what the heck's going on. It's great.
Billy Cat.
Everything goes in the oven now.
Ashley Bishop, our guest, Ashley Bishop. Is there anything else that we didn't get to? I want to make sure you had time. I feel like I went on a tangent about that show. So
No,
I'm
not you.
No, I'm happy to be on here with you guys, and it's great that y'all are doing this. I listen to y'all while I'm out walking my dogs, and y'all bring a lot of good attention to our struggles and our our triumphs and everything in the industry. I think y'all are awesome and doing a great thing. It's good to be able to, this is what we should see out of an animal control show, that's out there, us really supporting one another and getting everybody's perspective and seeing what everybody's doing. We're not here to reinvent the wheel. We're here to help each other out, and if something's working, let's all try it and give each other pats on the back, because we all know that sometimes nobody else is going to do it but other of us that know what we're going through on a daily basis.
For sure. Well, thank you. You're always welcome back on the show. We would
Yes.
shit. I mean, it'd be fun to have two bishops. Two's better than one. You're always welcome on the show. We're happy to have you, and you're always a friend of the show. So if you need something, if you can't make it on the show and you need us to announce something, that's gonna, if you're doing an event down in Texas, whatever it may be, hit us up. We'll get it out there. And this is why we do what we do, is to help build the community. I might make fun of us a little bit, but not in the same sense, right? So we appreciate you and all the hard work that you're doing.
Appreciate y'all.
Well, cool.
Thanks for
Thanks
coming on.
again for listening. Thanks again for joining us. And remember to check out the podcast network, keepithumane.com/podcast network. Check out livetrap.com. Use discount code keepithumane. Don't forget to help people
Help animals.
and keep it humane.